It's 7:40 right now, 55 KRCD Talk Station. Hope you're having a happy Wednesday. Stick around. We're going to be here from Tisha Powell with her book, Liberal Lies, coming up at 8:05. She is a nationally recognized political and legal analyst. And Judge Ana Napolitano in his new column, Voluntary Servitude, and his comments on the border every Wednesday at 8:30. And as promised, joining me on the 55 KRC Morning Show from the Cincinnati Enquirer, which you find online at cincinnati.com. Get yourself a membership and stay in touch with local issues like the mayoral race. Welcome back to the 55 KRC Morning Show, Sharon Coolidge from the Enquirer.
Good morning.
So, how'd it go last night?
Well, we have the answer to the question that everyone has been asking. Is there actually a mayor's race? Yes, there is.
Yes.
And there is.
Both candidates showed up and took questions and made their points last night. Oh, my God, an actual debate with the mayoral candidates. Did you ever think this day would actually come, Sharon?
No, I wondered. I didn't know. Like, going into the debate, the Enquirer had the first debate last night. There's, you know, a series more of these coming. And so it was a little bit like, should we have the last debate, the first debate? Like, but you didn't know going into last night what this was going to look like because the race has been so quiet.
Yes, it has.
And we really got the answer in that Aftab Puraval did what we thought he was going to do. He, you know, he has this vision. He has these four written plans. And, you know, he kept pivoting back to them, trying to point out the points in his plan. But David Mann showed up, and he went on the attack. And he had a lot to say about his opponent.
Well, I liked his line, quote, "So sometimes it seems to me like the clerk is over here saying, look, I've flown a kite, and now it's time for me to take controls of a 747, except we're all passengers. I don't think that's the direction we should end up." And, I mean, obviously pointing out to Aftab's lack of experience, at least insofar as city council and being the mayor is concerned. And so Aftab comes back and has a go at David Mann because he's got Republican supporters, which should shock no one. That's not really is that going to turn off, I guess, Sharon, logical question, a political question, is the fact that David Mann is the preferred candidate by more conservative-minded people than the very liberal Aftab Puraval, is that going to turn off Democrat voters? Are they going to vote for Aftab merely because David Mann is drawing in some Republican money?
I think that we already know that, right? And certainly there's people that are not going to vote for David because of that. But those people are already voting for Aftab.
Right.
But that wasn't a surprise, and I don't think that's like a pivotal moment where Aftab's like, oh, David has some Republican supporters. And people are like, oh, my God, yeah. Does he? we already know that. Those people are either going to not vote for David because of that or vote for him because of that. We know that. That's like a baseline going into this election.
So you have this swath of, presumably, and I've always been encouraging, you know, my Republicans, or in my case, little libertarian-minded friends, to vote for David because he is the sounder of the two choices. He's been there, done that. And we're going to have a whole mixed breed of Lord knows who on city council, a bunch of new faces probably, maybe some old ones, maybe like Flynn or some of the ones that are currently seating there with some experience. But, you know, I just see this chaos. And in order to preside over chaos, we need someone that is going to be an adult in the room, and that's David. So I've been encouraging that. But the independent voters out there, those folks that really don't have a necessary political affiliation, I would like to think that they are more centrist in mindset, which means David Mann would be the better choice, given Aftab's political
leaning. But is that where Cincinnati is right now? That really is the question.
I know.
That's what's being set up here, I think, by Aftab Puraval, right? To really say, like, we need a different direction, and he's not afraid to say it. Now, David has said, we need a steady hand, I have experience. So going into last night, that's not a surprise narrative. But to me, the surprise was he took it a step further and said Aftab Puraval is not qualified to be mayor. It was more than he has said before, which was, I'm the steady hand.
Yes, indeed. And we always have that whole issue of Aftab jumping around from job to job. Sharon Coolidge, pause. Fast approaching 7:49 at 55 KRCD Talk Station. Brian Thomas with Sharon Coolidge from the Cincinnati Enquirer, again at cincinnati.com. Sharon, we have to, the two points, I guess, that were made initially, is David Mann too old, and is Aftab Puraval actually interested in being mayor, or is this a springboard for his next, presumably, national-level race? What's your take on that one?
You know what? Those questions had to be asked.
Yeah.
I think they're the number one questions. When I was making out the list of questions that we, you know, my proposed questions, they were questions one and two. We ended up asking them questions one and two. David said he's not too old, and AFTAP said he's committed to being the mayor, which really, those are not a surprise, but like those questions, they are out there.
Well, we went through, and moving on to the police, I get the interesting fact for my listeners who haven't been paying real close attention to AFTAP Perval. As the Enquirer reported, Perval, this is fourth campaign in 5 years, the third office he sought since 2016. Of course, Steve Shabbat beat him for his run for Congress in 2018. I mean, the guy just keeps, again, using the offices for a springboard up somewhere. Sherrod Brown just came down in favor of him the other day as well. So that issue aside, policing is obviously a huge issue in the nation. We have the whole idea of defunding the police. Not a very popular concept in the city of Cincinnati from anyone's standpoint. Where do they come down yesterday during the debate on police relations?
You know, AFTAP has a public safety plan that is a lot of, you know, best practices for policing. I gave it a really close read. I don't hate it, but I walked away from it thinking, well, yeah, a lot of people think not all of it, but, you know, like there's some general things in there that are some really good ideas, but you want to know where the money's going to come from. And I think that was AFTAP's biggest problem last night. They both had issues. So to be totally fair, but AFTAP has all of these ideas, and I love that. These written plans, this is what I want to do. It harks back to the Roxanne Cranley, where they both had dueling plans. Roxanne had a press conference, then John did. Here's my jobs plan. Here's my crime plan. Okay. But there's no speaking of where the money's going to come from. As everyone knows, the city's facing this crisis of earnings tax possibly coming down the pike. And it's like, how are you going to pay for that? David hit him hard on that. But then David doesn't have the written plans. You know, he says, my experience is going to take us forward and continuous improvement. And so those were the dueling points there.
And I guess on some level, I understand where David's coming from. I think he is of the mind, as I am. I'm intimately familiar with the police department. I have lots of friends in the police department. My sister retired after 25 years of service as a lieutenant a couple, 3 years ago. I still know people who are actively on the force. I think David believes that, you know, it's not necessarily maintaining the status quo, but since we went through the collaborative process after the riots, we have had and implemented so many of the reforms that are being demanded in these other cities that didn't go through that process in other areas of the country. So I think he's more, you know, support the police and not change the resources. I guess I look at Perval's point. He thinks that he's going to make the department more efficient. And here's where your money point comes in. By not sending police on runs, better served by mental health professionals. But how much is a mental health professional going to cost, Sharon? I mean, you should just substitute one salary for another, right?
I mean, I do think the city needs to do this. There's some programs out there. They are expensive, you know, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't do them. But show me a plan.
Yeah.
Show me a plan of like, and also I have to say, this whole city council, after the big defund the police hearing, you know, last year in 2020, where, you know, it was like, we want to defund the police and then all these extra ideas and everything. You know, it was right before the budget that this all came down. And city council said, we can't really do anything right now. The budget's a week away. It's already kind of cooked. We're going to spend the year coming up with a plan to really talk about this. Did they do that?
Right.
No, they did not. Show me, like, just put together a plan. No one thinks this is going to happen overnight, but it's more than a talking point in a debate or an election. It is very critical to what's going on in 2021, and all I'm getting is talking points right now.
Understood. But, you know, I think David Mann made a great point, at least vis-a-vis Perval's efforts or desire to send mental health professionals. You know, Mann said it. It's almost a rhetorical question. Based upon that 911 operator, we're going to make a determination that an armed officer is not needed? I don't think that makes sense. And I have to agree with David on that. How is it possible? We have that poor kid that suffocated to death for want of an ability to find a Honda van parked in a parking lot. You know, there's only so much that a 911 operator can do, and only so much that they can assess in an emergency situation. And I don't think they're capable of knowing whether a mental health professional or a cop is going to show up at any given situation. I mean,
don't forget, we're basically under a court order to improve the 911 center.
Yep.
Like, they didn't even do enough there that the lawsuit with the Plush family that you just mentioned is not only about a settlement for the family, it's about oversight that the city's required to do. And I have to say, I wrote a public safety story talking to both candidates and really trying to pin them down, and neither one of them committed to making the recommendations that the experts said because of money.
Yeah.
Because of money. They were like, well, we'll see. I mean, I feel like some of those recommendations are going to come back and like, well, we need to kind of triage these calls and, you know, really assess them. And it's like, that costs money.
It does. You know what else costs money, Sharon Coolidge? Streetcars.
I'm trying not to make the selection about the streetcars.
I had to throw it in there, Sharon. I had to. Anyhow, we are short of money. There are obvious budget problems that we face. Everyone acknowledges it is not a Republican, Democrat, independent, socialist, communist reality. It's just reality. There's short money. There's always a longer list than the money we've got, and it's for the mayor and council to work that kind of thing out along with the city manager. And we got a little insight into it yesterday. Where's the money coming from? Sharon Coolidge, thank you so much for spending time with my listeners and me and answering these questions and giving us a little clue to where we're headed. November, it's right around the corner. We'll be looking for more from you, Sharon, and I'll be looking forward to having you back on the program real soon. Between now and then, I hope you and your family stay well.